The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is telling Foxconn it's time to renegotiate its contract with the state. That's after the company failed to create the minimum number of jobs last year to qualify for tax credits. Foxconn's plans for its Wisconsin project have changed repeatedly since 2017. It had originally pledged to make Generation 10.5 LCD display screens, then a less high-tech model. Last month, it received a permit to repurpose one of its main buildings from manufacturing to storage. Most of the nearly $3 billion in state incentives under the current contract are tied to job creation, but Foxconn has already received about $400 million in state and local support, including infrastructure work and buying nearby properties. The company says it remains committed to its promise of 13,000 jobs. In a statement, they cited several hundred million dollars of investment already made at its site in Racine County. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the Foxconn project in Wisconsin? Have your feelings about it changed since the deal was announced 3 years ago? Do you want to see the state renegotiate its contract with the company? If you're from the area where it's being built, are you still hopeful that something is going to come out of this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Willie Shea is a professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School and co-author of the book Producing Prosperity, Why America Needs a Manufacturing Renaissance. Willie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked to you about Foxconn on and off over the last few years. What's your reaction to this news now that the state is trying to renegotiate with Foxconn and that the state says Foxconn fell short on its targets, its job targets for a subsidy?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was never really surprised. I sort of anticipated this outcome at the very onset because, the building a Gen 10.5 LCD factory, just the way the project got started, I've called it a state visit project. You know, when the big guys get together, they announce a big thing, some big project, but then things change and they evolve. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing now.
Yeah, talk about what we've seen elsewhere in the world when there are these big Foxconn projects that may or may not amount to what was initially promised.
Well, first of all, we should talk about the LCD business. Okay, the LCD business is the business of making these flat screen televisions or your computer monitors. Okay, that's a notoriously cyclic business. Okay, and when Foxconn originally announced the intention to build this Gen 10.5 factory in Wisconsin. At the time, I thought it was a terrible time to build a factory because there was so much capacity coming on around the world that, there was going to be a glut and then prices were going to go down. So it was not a surprise to me that they started dragging their heels on this. In fact, Foxconn had another factory in Guangzhou, in Guangdong province in southern China, where they've really been trying to sell it, right? Because it was kind of not the right time to bring on that additional capacity. So you have the market situation in the product that these factories make, as well as, when they launched this project in Wisconsin, they didn't really have the supporting network of suppliers who were going to come in and supply them with essential ingredients. So, frankly, it was never going to happen. We see this type of pattern a lot, especially in Asia. People will announce a big deal, and then they'll modify those plans as market conditions change.
Is that really so bad, though? Might we not get something out of it, even if it's not the original thing?
Well, I don't think that's so bad. I mean, what you really want, and this is the intent behind incentives, of course, is you really want, a high-tech facility of some kind here that will generate a lot of local jobs, right? First in construction and building everything. But then, you want a business that is viable, right, which can produce products that the market wants to buy. Okay, they can keep people employed. If you don't have a project that is set up to win that way, it's not sustainable anyways. I don't think it's good for anybody. So in my view, kind of that renegotiation, A, it was inevitable, and B, it's just as well that, it's like, okay, guys, let's now figure out what's a realistic thing we should be doing?
An article from The Verge just came out in the last couple of days on Foxconn in Wisconsin. You were quoted in it at one point. One thing that's contended by people who had worked at Foxconn and quoted by the reporter was that Foxconn had gone on a hiring spree in the last couple months of a year and then laid people off early the next year, supposedly to hit the subsidy targets. Is this something we've seen from Foxconn elsewhere? Is this something that is hard to control, I guess, in a deal between a state and a big business like Foxconn?
Well, I don't really have visibility to hiring for a specific subsidy target. But, you know, a company like Foxconn, who, for example, manufactures a lot of iPhones for Apple and a lot of other equipment for Apple, typically hires and lets go a lot of people at any given time, right? They probably have hired a lot of people right now because they're ramping up production of iPhone 12s and they need to meet that surge of initial demand. Back a couple years ago when they were having trouble ramping up production of iPhone 10s, they went out and hired hundreds of thousands of people just to do rework. Okay, so it's not unusual for companies like Foxconn or Chinese companies in general, or companies that operate in China, to kind of expand and contract as their needs go up and down. Whether, you know, you can, I can't trace to, you know, specifically I'm trying to hire to meet subsidies. You know, in general, though, these companies do hire and lay off based on how much work they have.
Talking about Foxconn in Wisconsin, Willie Shi is with us from Harvard Business School. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Wisconsin, the state government says Foxconn didn't meet their hiring targets for 2019 that they needed for state subsidies. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Milwaukee. Chris, hi.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Chris?
Just my... There's a couple of different things. When I was a younger man getting into the workforce, I was really excited to hear about Foxconn's plans to develop so many needed jobs in Wisconsin. But now as time passes by, it's becoming to look less and less like it. And the benefits that have been reaped by this company at this location with the empty shells of a building is frustrating, and I feel that something needs to get owed back to the citizens. I was really excited to hopefully work for Foxconn, but, you know, as everything changes, so I had to change my lifestyle, and now I'm employed.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Willie, do you think that the jobs that Chris was hoping for a few years ago will still emerge?
Well, that would be my hope. I'm very sympathetic to people like Chris. I'm very sympathetic to Wisconsin taxpayers who put up a lot of money, you know, in the hopes of creating these jobs. You know, I think the challenge is this is a volatile industry, kind of. The bid to build a Gen 10.5 LCD factory, that would have brought a lot of high-tech jobs. It would require a lot of training and so on. Maybe that was, I don't know, hindsight is always 20/20. Maybe that was kind of too big a bite to take, considering the risks that came with it, that maybe this factory would never be built. Okay. Now, Foxconn does a lot of other types of stuff, which, you know, maybe they could assemble medical equipment. Maybe they could assemble TV sets. Maybe they could assemble other things, right? I mean, I would hope that that would be the discussion now. And I would urge people who are negotiating with them to think about how do we get something that's sustainable? In other words, an operation that creates jobs that will be maybe a little less cyclical than what we're seeing with the flat panel display industry.
We're talking to Willie Shi right now, professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School, looking at the Foxconn project in Wisconsin after the state says wants to negotiate its contract, renegotiate it, after the company, the state says, didn't hit job targets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's time to make changes to the state's deal with Foxconn? Have your feelings about the project changed since the beginning? What are your hopes for it? What would you suggest the state do in the midst of renegotiating this deal? Call 800-642-1234. If you have worked for Foxconn or tried to negotiate a supply deal with them, love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Willie Shi, professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School, looking at the Foxconn project in Racine County after the company missed its hiring targets last year for subsidies, according to the state. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I've always been wondering, since the deal was made, about the technology of LED panels. The newest generation of the Apple phones are using a different type of technology for their display. It's called organic LEDs. It is a different technology, and that's the trend, I believe, for most panel makers, at least the high-end stuff. So I'm wondering, does that have any bearing on the situation?
Tom, OLEDs are an emissive technology, right? So they have a lot of advantages. They are considered a little more advanced than your standard LCD flat panels. So, for example, the leaders in manufacturing those right now are Samsung and LG of Korea, okay? And there are some Chinese manufacturers who are investing heavily to make those, okay? And, of course, Japanese manufacturers are still in the lead on that. I would say that's a little bit harder. You have to have a little more science and technology background in order to make those. Foxconn has not historically made those yet. Okay, so it's a little out of reach for them right now.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Louise now in Dodgeville. Louise, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what your guest thought about just the environmental impact that Foxconn, by building it, created, and then a lot of people were displaced from their homes because of the big footprint of the Foxconn development. So if they aren't able to kind of fulfill what they intentionally tried to create, how should the state address Foxconn for those impacts that were created? And Louise, I can take my answer off the air.
Thanks for calling in, Louise. Willie, any thoughts for Louise?
Well, I've actually talked to some people who are in that area who've been impacted, including the last homeowner. And, they cleared a lot of land. They put in a lot of other infrastructure. You know, the question for the state right now is, can we get that kind of industrial development in this area where they've laid in that infrastructure? Otherwise, then what are you going to do? If you can't do it, then is there some remediation in plan? But, they've built roads, they've plowed up a lot of farmland and homes and everything. So it's a big problem, right? But, if not Foxconn, can you bring something else in?
Thanks a lot for that call, Louise, at 800-642-1234. Andrew joins us next in Menominee. Andrew, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that the deal definitely needs to be renegotiated, that $3 billion is far too much of a tax break. They've talked about how long it's going to take to actually break even on that deal. And then there's the reports of them renting like buildings in downtown Milwaukee for office space, and there's practically nobody there. They haven't hit the goals for hiring people. There's been reports of other factories where the same thing has happened, where they've pulled the same tricks, and they've shown what sort of manufacturer and business partner they are. So I think the deal needs to be renegotiated to reflect that.
Andrew, thanks a lot for the call. Willie, you've talked some about what you would suggest the state do in trying to renegotiate a deal. The $3 billion Andrew mentioned, a lot of that, of course, conditional on those job numbers. So is Wisconsin really losing that much? They don't hit the job numbers. They don't get the subsidies.
Well, you know, I think what we're seeing reflects, renting buildings in Milwaukee and then not filling them. All these things kind of reflect a situation of them trying to struggling to kind of hold on to the subsidies and figuring out a plan. To me, it shows that they don't really have a good plan on how they're going to get out of this fix that they've gotten into. That's the problem right now. But Foxconn is a large company, okay? And so my advice to the state is, like, help them figure out what they're going to put here, but focus on something that's going to be sustainable, right? Something that's going to be maybe a little less cyclical, something, you know, America is a very large market for a lot of the stuff they produce. So what can I produce here that will be sustainable, that will create those jobs, you know, that will use all this space that we and infrastructure that we've developed? It's not going to be an LCD fab, but it could be something else.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Willie Shee from Harvard Business School about the latest on the Foxconn deal here in Wisconsin. Willie, big screens, small screens. There's been talk of a smart cities project with Racine. Supplying government supplies was on the table at one point. According to this Verge piece, fish farming came up. Do we know if the Foxconn plant has actually made anything at this point?
I don't know. Occasionally people send me documents from the Planning Commission and stuff, and I look at it and it's like, wow, this looks like it could be that. Okay, but you know, you can judge it by, is there a lot of truck traffic bringing parts and parts in and finished goods out? So my guess is probably not. You know, to me, it's what it's indicating is they're struggling to figure something out, right? And they probably need some help figuring that out.
Let's go back to our callers. Ted is on the line in Racine. Ted, hello. I think we lost Ted. Yes. Okay. Thanks, though, for trying to call in at 800-642-1234. Ted did want to ask some about the politics of this, the big plans announced in an election year for governor here. President Trump involved, still talking about Foxconn some as recently as this last week at a rally. Can you talk about the political side of things, Willie?
Well, yeah, you know, it's all about creating jobs, right, and stable jobs, right? So, I mean, there's always going to be that kind of positioning, you know, prior to an election. This is a tough time to be doing that, though, because, you know, it's a tough economy. There's a lot of uncertainty about how long the COVID-19 pandemic is going to last, right? So, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, I feel bad for the people in southeastern Wisconsin, right? But, you know, we're going to need a lot of things to get better before we see a lot of progress on this, I think.
Let's try another caller now. Carol is with us in Milwaukee. Carol, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's any way to hold the people who got us into this mess responsible, such as the ex-governor or the Republicans who are promoting this, and any person on the street almost could have seen in those days when they were bringing this in that Foxconn had a very bad reputation. They had done some terrible thing, and it was common knowledge. We all knew about it, but yet they pushed that in, and now all this expense. And is Wisconsin here to be abused by companies that want to come in and abuse us? Is that why we're here? Or Carol, do we have any, you know, rights?
Carol, thanks a lot for the call. Is Carol right that maybe people could have looked at what Foxconn had done elsewhere and seen this coming, Willie?
Well, when I was a kid growing up in Milwaukee in southeastern Wisconsin and Chicago as well. You know, my parents used to talk about, you know, people whose eyes were bigger than their stomach. Okay. And as I reflect on this situation, what happened is some of the leadership of the state were shown a Gen 10.5 factory in Asia. Okay. And it's like, oh, wow, that would be great to have something like that in Wisconsin. Okay. But, and they pushed that, and Foxconn went along with that in exchange for the subsidies, not really thinking about the economics of how am I going to make this work. Early on when this happened, I said, you know, $4 billion of subsidies, I think, was promised at the time. Okay, if you're going to build a Gen 10.5 factory anywhere in the world, since everyone in Asia is subsidized, I said $4 billion in subsidies isn't going to be enough. And on top of that, you have to subsidize the suppliers. And since the state didn't subsidize all the suppliers because, you know, they didn't go all in on this, then the critical suppliers didn't move in. And at that point, it was obvious that there was no way this factory was going to ever get built, right? So, you know, there was this grand vision, but like my parents used to say, maybe the eyes were bigger than the stomach.
Willie, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Willie Shih is a professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School and co-author of the book Producing Prosperity, Why America Needs a Manufacturing Renaissance. He talked with us about where the Foxconn project goes after the state said last week that the company had fallen short of its 2019 hiring goals.